Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by HelloFresh. Go to HelloFresh.com/Ghost80. Get yourself $80 off your first month by going to HelloFresh.com/Ghost80. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a nursing student discovers that the people she cares for in life sometimes return to care for her after death. A child's chilling first paranormal experience is shockingly confirmed to be real by his family. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Or if you got an audio file and you want to record it directly on your smart device, do that. Send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com, and we may use it on a future episode. Oh, the program. It's Tony and Sean joining you once again, and how are you this fine day?
I'm grand. Yourself?
Busy is all heck, because it's the new part of the year, and everybody and their brother. The other thing I do with making commercials, it's like, oh, hey, we should probably do that. We're the whole month of December's like dead, and nobody's doing anything, but then like the first couple of weeks in January, it's just like, oh, every 2 seconds your phone rings. And I'm not complaining, it's business, but it's just like, You can't, for someone like me, I try to do more than one thing at once, and I'm juggling like a commercial for this to that to the other thing, and then somebody has a question, and then, oh, can we just do a small revision on this? I think I heard you didn't quite say the T strong enough in that, just that, can we just do that one more time? It's like, seriously? Like, you're the only one who's ever heard that. And it's like, well, yeah, you know, somebody get the perfectionists, and it's like, okay. Okay. Deep breath.
I think as much as we try to stay busy in the holidays, we all kind of go into cruise control, and then we wake up after the new year and, oh my gosh, I have done nothing the last 3 weeks for my business, and you are nice enough to be able to assist them. So you're our superhero, Tony. Thank you.
Yes, I'm saving the world one commercial at a time because it's the thing everyone in the world loves, commercials.
You know what? I want to know how I can get a deal on my glasses. And you're going to tell me about it if I live just outside of Cleveland. So I'll be listening at a radio station nearby.
And you'll get a free puppy with every pair of glasses. That's the special that's going
speaking on. Speaking of puppies and glasses, not so much glasses. Yeah, do the folks know that you have the new addition to the family, or did you get to the new addition to the family?
He will be arriving. Well, by the time this thing airs, it will be here, but he will be arriving technically tomorrow as of this date.
By helicopter?
Hang glide, actually. He's coming in from one of the other Ozark Mountain hilltops, and they just kind of strap the golden retriever into the hang glider, and they just say, good luck, puppy, and then he just kind of... He kind of comes down the mountaintop, and that's how we do things here in the Ozarks. Hang gliding.
Natural birthing. Yes, just from nature to doorstep. In just 30 minutes or less, or half price.
Coming in on they said, you know, drone, that's a little too modern. Hang glide.
A bit too techie.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
I'm excited. So hopefully in the next couple of episodes, there'll be intermittent barking in between the stories. So that'll be fun. 855-853-4802 is our number. I'll jump into our first story so you can enjoy your Quaker Oats with Wilford Brimley. Let's go. It says, I'm currently in nursing school where I'm permitted to interact with nurses and patients alike to help us learn new abilities. Among all our duties, we each had one patient who we were to take care of throughout our stay. My patient's name was George. Nursing homes to me can be creepy. Creepy enough without ghosts. The specific place I was situated at was an old villa, which was a hospice during the late 20s, but was renovated, and a rest home wing was added to the original arrangement. I hate being in the laundry room alone in the far end of the first villa, the laundry was a cold, dark, and consistently secluded area. When asked to venture in there, I always would run in and run back out. Whenever I took George to the laundry to collect his possessions, he would say in an eerily casual voice, "Looks like our friend is here to see you now." He told me that our friend, who's a ghost, we sometimes call Steve, loves company. Gets lonely in the dark room. I can never tell whether George was joking or not, but I'd laugh anyway, not wanting to seem fearful. George always joked around with me. He wouldn't let any of those other nurses care for him when I had been on duty because he still had so much to tell me about his week. He would say to me that I was his favorite nurse and he was my ideal patient. On Tuesday, I was doing my first night shift. I was feeling excited because I always felt that night patients were different than daytime ones. It was one of those odd nights where the dark seems to press on every corner, almost like a blanket. I felt a little uncomfortable as I was doing rounds in my own rounds in the original building, and as soon as I walked past the laundry room, I looked and I started to get this feeling I was being watched. Thinking of George, I chuckled to myself of what he was saying earlier, trying to figure out if the ghost character was a joke or not. I finished my round and headed back. After the charge nurse asked how my rounds had been, I told her about how I always felt uneasy when I go near the laundry room. She laughed and told me not to be silly. She explained, "As a nurse, you'll get used to the creepy areas. Our principal concern is the living, not the dead." She and the other nurses laughed for a bit. Then she looked at me. "Since you like the laundry so much, some sheets need to be cleaned for tomorrow. Is it possible to run them down?" I thought she was joking. Fortunately, she wasn't. As a nurse, you get picked on a little. It's all fun and games, and you finally learn to live with this. I decided to get my trip to the laundry room over and done with, so I grabbed the sheets and went on my way. It wasn't a cold night, but the breeze snuck through the little gaps in the previous panels, creating a chill. I pushed open the door with my foot and reached my hand through the door to turn the light before I went in, not wanting to enter in the dark, and I felt a small breeze on my side. Figured it was just coming from the paneling and heard a small creak, which I again put to the breeze against the old building. I walked to that room and, out of habit, looked towards the boiler room, knowing that doorways in a rest home should always be closed. I walked over to shut it, and that was when, from the corner of my eye, I saw something, a light, move behind the door. As much as I didn't want to look, I peeked through the gap and saw a man sitting on a bucket with a crazy grin on his face. I slammed the door shut and fled the room, leaving the sheets on the floor. As I sped around the corner, I ran into a welcome face. It was George. He walked up to the boiler room door and opened it. It was vacant. "Nothing can hurt you, dear," he said. "You're well protected, I can tell." I smiled awkwardly and told him it must have been my eyes playing a trick on me. He laughed again and turned to me. It was at that point I recalled George was not supposed to be walking around on his own at night. I offered to walk him back to his room and said, "What type of life will it be if you leave your sheets all over the floor?" he teased. I automatically chilled out and laughed. I walked George back to his room, got him settled in before bidding him goodnight and telling him I'd see him on Thursday. Last thing I saw as I closed the door was him grinning at me lovingly and then turning his head as though to speak to someone. Thursday morning, I showed up, prepared to begin my day. At handover, the nurse did not mention whether George was due for a shower, so I went to ask her. She looked at me with a surprise and said, "Honey, George passed away on Tuesday morning. I'm positive you must have been told when you had your night shift. Didn't you think it was weird and didn't come to see you?" She then smiled sadly at me and walked off. I did think it was weird that he'd not come to see me, because he had. I had 3 more weeks left at that specific placement. For those remaining weeks, I was no longer afraid of the laundry room. I felt calm and a warm feeling whenever I walked past. So there you go. Night shift at the hospital, and you end up interacting with the dead patient, who gives you a little solace when you actually run into a ghost.
Comforting.
Is it? That's the question. It's comforting because it came from someone that she knew, but he happened to be dead.
What I think is interesting is so many times we hear about somebody from way back when, or there was a childhood friend, and then as an adult, they somehow come into contact with them. This is something that somebody that just passed away not 48 hours prior.
Yeah. and he's right there. And almost letting her know, you know, that whatever the heck that is that's down in the laundry room is, you're okay. You're going to see it. It's going to be there. I'm over here now, too, but don't worry about, you know, whatever this thing is or whoever that thing is. It's an interesting thing with places like that. Because oftentimes, you know, senior homes are not places that you end up spending a ton of time in the course of your life. It's usually the last stop or pretty darn close to. And it's, you know, they're getting better than they used to. But I remember going and visiting my great grandmother and them, and a lot of times they're not the greatest of places where you'd want to be. A lot of times people do their best. Some are not as good as that. But it's a place where if you're dead, can't imagine that being a place that I'd want to stay around at a very long time.
You're talking about as far as the visitor from beyond the grave to come back to the senior living center?
Yeah.
More so to go to an island or go to the Swiss Alps or somewhere that's a little bit more enjoyable. Maybe, you know, your significant other is still living and you want to come back and visit her or him.
If they're still there at that specific place, I see what you're saying.
Maybe there's a roommate or somebody down in 7E that was just a total fucking asshole and you want to come back and fuck with them.
I would probably be that person that I'd want to be going back.
No matter how early you showed up to the recreational room, he always took your backgammon board.
Always
took your cappuccino just the way you like it, asshole.
When you're playing the bingo.
Who's gonna get the last laugh now, Lester?
When you're playing the bingo and all you want to do is win the orange, and they take all the oranges and all you're left is winning the dimes. That's just bullshit.
Yes.
I remember playing bingo with my grandma at the nursing home. And it wasn't even like real full bingo. It was like 6 or 9 playing cards that they'd play with to make it a little easier on the folks. But those are some of the prizes. It was always like, you win a dime or you won an orange. And it's like, okay, great.
Here's a new dauber. Get that.
New bingo dauber. All right, back to the program in just a moment. Want to thank our supporter today, HelloFresh. I've made the switch over there for 2019, trying something different, and I absolutely love it. I cannot say enough good things about the quality of what you get with HelloFresh. It's a meal kit delivery service that shops, plans, and delivers step-by-step recipes, pre-measured ingredients. You can cook, eat, and enjoy. It is so easy. They got all different plans for whatever you may need, classic, veggie, family, and a lot of options, like a lot of options. That's one of my favorite things is what you can pick from. Every single week. You can even enjoy their fun menu features with HelloFresh dinner to lunch, a 20-minute meal, gourmet, or one-pot wonders among many options there with HelloFresh. That's the great thing. Maybe some nights where it's like, you know what, I got a few minutes. I'd like to cook in the kitchen and spend some time doing it. And you may have those nights where it's like, I got to get the kids to this, I got to get the kids to that, I got to get this done, I need to feed them at some point. They got your option for you for that too. Get out the recipe. A card and 6 steps and you're done. It's easy. I mean, just listen to some of these recipes that are out there. Sweet as honey chicken with green beans over jasmine rice. Meatloaf a la mom. I love that. With roasted root veggies and thyme gravy. I'm going to put money that might be better than mom's. Pork and poblano tacos. That's one of their Hall of Fame recipes because people love it. With kiwi salsa and lime crema. Crispy chicken legs with scallion, chimichurri, black beans over lime rice. I love spicy. This is one of my favorites. Sriracha cha-cha chicken with hoisin, roasted sweet potatoes, and broccoli. They got it all. Cherry balsamic sirloin with herb-roasted fingerling potatoes and roasted Brussels sprouts. It's just awesome stuff every single week. You get a lot to choose from. Delicious, fresh. Get yourself healthy in 2019. And enjoy everything that they have to offer. And the cool thing is, here right now, you guys can get $80 off your first month by going to HelloFresh.com/Ghost80. GHOST and then the number 80. HelloFresh.com/Ghost80. $80 off your first month. It's like getting 8 meals for free. Okay? HelloFresh.com/Ghost80. HelloFresh.com/Ghost80. Take advantage of it. They're supporting us. Please support them. It's a great service, great product. HelloFresh.com/Ghost80. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. New letter says, when I was young, in my childhood, we moved around quite frequently. However, one of the places that we moved to, I was able to call home. It's a place where I learned that ghosts are real. My house was located in a small town in a valley. The city had a history of going way back, dating to logging and mining. There are even a few museums dedicated to these topics in the area. Our property is part of an old farming compound where our neighbors used to be part of the same land. My grandparents now live there. My grandparents, as well as my parents, always had a strange disposition when discussing the topic of death. They talk about it all the time, sometimes to an extreme, making his children somewhat uncomfortable, especially with the topic of ghosts. Now, up to this point in my life, I had no experience of anything paranormal. However, that was all about to change. My family didn't always attribute everything to ghosts. They did live by a strict rule, though. When something scared you, always try to find a logical answer for it. There's often a natural reason for everything. Our imaginations can be much scarier if you don't stop to question what's scaring you. I would always remember that rule anytime I felt something strange might be actually happening. Thankfully, that rule proved to be correct more times than not. Then the time came where I tried to apply that rule, and there was nothing that I could find to explain what was going on around me. I was an early teenager, and my brother was at a sleepover at his friend's house. My father had taken a road trip and agreed that I was finally old enough to stay home alone. I remember watching his car disappear down the long driveway, thinking to myself, finally, I'm back alone. I feel so grown up, so proud. I had no idea what was about to happen. I had the whole night planned out. I was going to watch whatever I wanted to on television and stay up as late as I wanted. Probably get a lot of junk food in as well. Our living room had a large open field to it. Right down the hallway towards the bedrooms was an odd light that always gave off a strange blue glow. It was almost something out of a horror movie, especially with all the other lights when they were off. I wasn't about to let a strange light, though, in the hallway scare me. I settled in and started watching whatever I wanted to on television, and it felt great. I was finally old enough to be by myself. And then, it showed up. Out of the corner of my eye, I could see a dark bluish light coming from outside. I knew this blue light was not the whole strange light, or the strange light that was in the hallway that gave me the creeps. This one was moving, and it seemed to be coming from outside the window. I glanced towards the window, and I saw what appeared to be an outline of a man standing in front of this strange bluish light with the glow emanating from behind the figure directly, creating this shadow through the panes of glass. I sat there staring at it for what was probably about 10 to 20 seconds, but it felt like hours. I don't know what I was thinking at that time. I was calm and curious, with a feeling of deep dread within. I thought my mind might just be playing tricks on me, so I turned my eyes back to the television to try and get into the show again. Then I just knew that whatever was there was not moving, at least not moving far. I started to see sharp, quick movements in the direction of the window, and then it appeared as if its head began to tilt slightly to which side, as if it was staring and examining me. I immediately picked up my phone and called my father. I think I intended to tell him that I imagined things, not to make him freak out and return home, but I blurted everything out. And just like that, the man in the window disappeared. My father didn't even argue with me. He never said I was wrong. A few minutes later, he said very calmly that he'd be coming home, as if he couldn't bring to tell me that I imagined it, knowing that he had seen it too. I realized at that moment that I had just had my first true paranormal encounter. My father returned home a few hours later, and I recounted the story to him one more time. He listened calmly and never disputed my claims. He just hugged me and told me that everything would be okay. What would you rather have there in that situation with a parent when you're calling and sharing the horrible experience? Even if they had had it before, would the better thing have been to be like, oh, it's okay, nothing's going on, you're just seeing things, and move on, not to cause more anxiety? Or is it this? Is it more of this, the happy ending of he got there, calmed him down, and it was, you know, accepted as, look, I know you saw something.
I would want the outlandish, you're being ridiculous, Sean, to stop it. Absolutely nothing, because then my mild stroke that I was having of holy shitness would be subsided and calmed and reassured that I'm tired, just, and not think about it. The fact that he was maybe trying to be calming in the sense of, oh, it's okay, I respect that the way that I roll, mm-hmm. I would then overthink it to death and be absolutely terrified. You?
That's a hard one. I think there's elements of me that would want both. The thing is, I was so dismissed on like logical things growing up constantly that it's like, well, maybe a paranormal one would have been good. But I don't know. The way that this was handled, I think it was handled pretty well. It's good he didn't show up at the house and then dismiss, like, oh, you drug me all the way back here just because you're freaking out. This was more of, you know, putting some solace on it. I think the long-term long-term better reaction was what happened in this story. I think the quick calm-you-down fix, nothing's going on, would end up leading to much more questioning your own sanity because the things would continue to happen. And no, you just accept that no one believed you. This way, you kind of get the acceptance that you're believed, other people have experienced this, and it's easier to deal with in the long term. That's my thoughts on it.
I would agree as far as taking a little bit more off in the beginning and have it be a little bit more of a,
yeah,
of a holy shit, and then it subsides as it goes on, opposed to belittling it at the beginning, no, and it grows into a huge snowball effect.
Exactly. Thanks for sharing that one with us. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go over to a caller. Hi. You're on the air.
Hey, Tony. My name is Jay. I live in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and I have three really strange experiences that took place when I was back in college at App State this past March. So here we go. I'm going to start off with one that's more mild and then lead up to a really just super strange one that kind of, not really kind of, but it did just freak me out. And it was really weird. So the first one starts off, it was a Tuesday morning, if I'm not mistaken, and it was around 8:30 or so. And I was getting ready to go to class that morning, and my roommate, Michael, he had texted me. He was like, hey, if you're still at home, do you mind taking my clothes out the dryer and putting them in my basket for me? I said, sure, no problem. So before I leave, I took his clothes out the dryer and put them in the basket, and I put the basket on the couch. So I did that, went to class. About 2 hours later, he sent me a text, and it was one of those do like what the hell kind of text, like he was very upset about something. I said, hey, what's going on? Are you okay? He was like, no, not really. And he sent me a picture, and it took everything in me not to just go like, oh, you know, like in class. And it looked like someone had took the basket and just threw his clothes all over the floor. So I'm telling him, like, dude, I didn't do that. I don't know how that happened. You know, nothing fell over when I left, you know. And so we went in a group chat, in a group text with me, him, and our other roommate, Jordan. So we're like, Jordan, have you been home since, you know, in the past 2 hours? He was like, no, I've been in class since around 8 o'clock. And so we're like, okay. So Michael sends the picture of his clothes, you know, being thrown on the floor. And Jordan is like, who did that? And then I was like, I don't know, because I left them for him in this basket on the couch. And Michael is like, I don't know what the hell happened, but at least the clothes are dry. You know? So that was that. Then Friday, that following Friday, in the same week, that Friday night, we were playing video games in my bedroom, all of us, all three of us together. And we were just playing games, talking, you know, having fun, whatever. And it's just us three, you know, and we live at a top level apartment off campus, and it's just us three. So we had the main entry door locked because there's only one door that you can come in and go out of anyway. So it was locked, and it was just us there. In my room playing games. So we're playing games and we hear the door open. We're like, what the hell? And we just stop for a second. and we heard footsteps walking across the floor as if someone else was living there and that they came into like to the apartment. So we run out of my room into the living area. There's literally nobody there. The door is still locked and there's no type of like forced entry. So we figure, okay, maybe it was the neighbors either next door or below us. So we took it upon ourselves to go knock on our neighboring neighbor's doors, who was to the right of us, and the two who were below us. There was nobody there. Nobody answered. So, you know, we knocked for a good while just to make sure that someone was maybe in the shower or sleeping or something. So we knocked for a good while to make sure that no one came to the door. Nobody came to the door. So everyone, you know, our neighbors were all gone. And we're like, okay. So we go to the floor below that floor, which was the first floor, because it's a three level building. So we go to the first floor, and one neighbor answered, and we was like, hey, did you happen to like just get home like maybe 10 minutes ago? She's like, no, I've been here for the last hour and a half. I haven't left anywhere. We're like, okay, just asking, and we didn't tell her why, but she was probably like, what the hell was that about? So we go back upstairs and we finish playing our games, and about an hour and a half later, it happens again. It sounds like somebody opened our door, walked through, and it was like, what the fuck? So we happened to all just like stay in my room that like the rest of that night, and we were just like, what the heck is going on here? And now the thing is, prior to this, nothing has ever happened at all. It was just for some reason this week we had a little ghost visitor just pass through and wanted to basically fuck with us. So after that happened, then came my experience. So that following Monday started spring break. My roommates had left that Saturday, and it was just me Saturday night, Sunday, Monday until I left. So it was around Monday, around like 2 o'clock. I went and got some food, came back, and just chilled out for a little bit, and I took a nap. So I was on the computer, and I specifically took my computer and I put it on my desk. I put my glasses on my desk on top of my computer. Now, here's some important details. It was March and it was kind of warm that day, so I had on a black t-shirt and some khaki shorts. So I, just out of habit, I close my door and I lock it whenever I go to sleep. So I close my door, I lock it, get in bed, take a nap. This time it's like around 6 o'clock. I wake up around maybe, I want to say like 9:30, 10. And I go to get my glasses and they're not there. So I'm thinking, okay, maybe I slept on them and I forgot to take them off. I said, no, I know I took off my glasses because I had them on and I put them on top of my laptop. Where the hell are my glasses, you know? So I'm looking everywhere for my glasses. I'm just like, what the hell? Here's where it gets weird. I find the frame of my glasses in my bathtub. I don't know how they got there. And when I found them, the lens were popped out of my glasses. I'm thinking, what the hell? You know, I'm like, okay, I know that I don't sleepwalk. And if I did, why would I destroy my glasses? You know, that's strange. So I found the frame of them in the bathtub with no lens. I'm like, okay, great. Now I gotta find the damn lenses. You know, took me about an hour to find the frame alone because I didn't know where to look. So I'm looking around. I said, okay, well, let me just start looking in all my pants pockets, I guess. I found the left lens in one of my sweatpants pockets with a scratch going down from the top of it to the bottom of it. It's just a scratch. Like someone took a knife and just scratched it for no damn reason. Found the left lens in my sweatpants pocket. Mind you, I had on shorts that day because it was like in the mid-70s. Kind of warm. I found my right lens under my bed. So I'm sitting on the floor of my bedroom thinking to myself, what the hell was in my bedroom? You know? Let's not forget, my door is still locked. I never opened my door. No one is here but me. You know? My roommates left days ago for spring break. So what the hell was in my room as I was sleeping? And to this day, part of me wants to know what it was. And then part of me is kind of like, you know, I think it's best if I never find out what came through my bedroom. And want to be a little prankster and screw around with my glasses. And ever since that happened, nothing else happened. You know, we graduated, we moved out, that was that. Nothing else happened, but for some reason that week, it was as if we just had a random spirit pass through and decided, hey, these guys look like pretty fun people. Let's fuck with them for a little bit, you know? And it was just the most strangest situation. And me and my roommates talk about it to this day, or ex-roommates, but we're still good friends. We still talk about, you know, like, has our college ghost friends still, you know, came back and visit any of you since we graduated or anything? But it, we look back on it today, and it's funny. But back then, we were just like, okay, is it May yet? Can we get out of here anytime soon? Because this is weird. And for all of us to experience something once together and then two of us at separate times, it's just strange. And I personally believe that, you know, spirits pass through just to pass through. You know, this, hey, this, I'm here. While I'm here, let's move this around. Let's toss this over. Let's just, you know, and it was, and I've always believed in spirits, always have, always will. And I've had my little share of experiences, but nothing to this extent. And when it happened, I was just kind of floored. Like something actually touched my stuff. Something was actually in my bedroom while I was asleep. And I don't know what it was. I don't think I want to know what it was or anything, but it's like, it didn't bother me physically, but it bothered my belongings, and that's enough to, like, kind of shake me up. And the fact that you bothered something that I actually have to use on a daily basis, you know? And when it happened, I was like, is this a sign that I'm going to go blind or something? Like, so much crap was going through my head. I was like, okay, it's time to go. This is weird. What is happening? But at the end of the day, I just kind of believed that for some reason that week, a spirit of some sort just passed through, and it stayed for a little bit and saw that it got a reaction out of us. And it was just like, huh, I'm going to stick around for a little bit and see what else I can do. You know, it's weird. It's funny now, but then it was like, okay, this is pretty screwed. So that's my experiences that happened to me back in college. And I want to know, have any of you other people, you, Tony, Jenny, whomever, have you ever had an experience where a random moment of just activity happened, and then it was just that one time and it was over? So yeah, I love you guys. I am a Patreon member and EPP for Real Ghost Stories and Grave Talks. Love the show. Listen to it every single day and night. And love you guys. All right. Bye.
How about you? Ever anything odd like that happen where an object or something just kind of moves?
I was, you know, I was more so analyzing the story from the standpoint of what it was opposed to reflecting on my life. Nothing, nothing comes to the front of my mind as much as what I believe what transpired there. I think of, you've seen The Hangover, yes, the
yeah.
movie?
Yep.
So basically my thought is some folks that graduated from App State 20, 30, 40, 80 years ago, that they wanted to get the band back together. It was around spring break, and they said, all right, okay, how about this? Okay, Big T, Scotty, Bill, you in? Okay, we're going to go back. We're going to pick an apartment, and we're going to just fuck with them. We're gonna do this rager. We're going to live it up. I mean, we're ghosts, so nobody can fucking see us. So you are going to mess with the laundry. Somebody must have got very intoxicated for the glasses to just end up in three different places. Somebody was clearly wearing them, and then something happened. And that's going to be my take on it. I don't think that there was any specific fuckery involved with the specific fellas in this apartment. It was essentially the apartment that was being lived in by a crew of good buddies. It was good buddies from way back in the day that came about, and there you have it. It was a one hurrah that they got done with it and realized, oh, that was some pretty hardcore shit. Let's not do that anymore. But it was fun.
Do you get a hangover when you're a ghost, or is it like one of the bonuses of like your dad and that doesn't happen anymore?
Hold on, let me text my dead uncle that has visited me about four. I don't have his number. I'll get back to you on that, Tony.
Next time we'll have an answer to that, and it'll change everything. It'll change everyone's outlook on the world and the future in general. Good story. Thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802, our number. That's going to wrap up our program for today. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an EPP Extra Podcast person on the website at ghostpodcast.com. Get all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and everything else up there, ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.